and I sent a photo of the Volvo with the caption saying, "Guess what?" His reply was along the lines of, "You better not have swapped my Fiesta for that piece of Volvo." And what followed was actually the angriest text message conversation I've ever had with anyone ever. Good afternoon. Today I want to tell you a story about my Volvo 740 Turbo Estate. But unlike some of my other tales, this one is 100% true. It's a Volvo 740 Turbo Estate in grey. It actually exists. It popped up for sale not too long ago, and I was tempted to buy it again. I'd already bought it twice before. Some years had gone past, and I thought, I did like that car. Shall I buy it again? So I contacted the seller on eBay, and I sent him some basic questions to try and find out if the faults that I knew the car had been resolved. He sent me a message back that simply said, "Let it go." And I thought, that's really strange. So I posted it up on my Facebook page and I said, "Look, did anyone buy this car? Anyone know where it went? Anyone know anything more about its whereabouts now?" A chap then sends me an email saying, "Jeff, I did try to buy that car and here's what happened." I'm going to come on to his email at the end because I want to give you the context first. This is actually, unlike many other Jeff stories, completely true. My relationship with G165 BEV actually begins with a Mark V Ford Fiesta Z-Tech S. In my family, there's four boys, I have three younger brothers, and we all love cars. We especially love a Mark V Z-Tech S. Between us, we've owned five. The worst example any of us has purchased was a rusty, smelly, black dog of a car bought by brother number three. I'm the oldest, then there's one here. It's this brother here that bought the black crap one. I say it was bought by brother number three. All he did was click some buttons on a phone. He was in the Navy at the time and bought the car on eBay while he was deployed down in Portsmouth. He just told me to go and fetch it for him. His idea was to improve and enjoy the Fiesta upon his return in a few weeks. So all I had to do was go and get it and stash it at our parents' house. I arrived at the seller's house and I was dismayed to see that the Fiesta wasn't even wearing the correct wheels. It was black with badly painted black wheels and a haggard interior. The smell inside the car was somewhere between an ashtray and the bilge of a ship, which made zero sense. It didn't go in a straight line. It was unstable at any speed, but he'd paid for it and it wasn't my car, so it didn't matter. Once the Fiesta was safely home, I exchanged some messages and shared my concerns with little brother Jeff, who said he'd buy some proper wheels and sort it all out. However, I had no faith in the car, and to be fair, it was me that had driven it. Once the Fiesta was safely home, I exchanged some messages and I shared my concerns with little brother Jeff. He said he'd buy some proper wheels and sort it all out, but I said I had no faith in the car. To be fair, I was the one that had driven it. He had never seen it, and he had not smelt it, let alone the interior. Employing both my initiative and my natural position in the family hierarchy as the biggest brother, I listed the not very good Fiesta for sale on a website called Swaps. If you've seen that website, it's naff. But it is where you can go to swap stuff. A week went by with no interest in the Fiesta before a chap got in touch saying, would I like to swap the not very good Fiesta for a Volvo 740 Turbo? I thought he was mad. Little brother Jeff had maybe 500 quid in the Fiesta, and even then, the Volvo was worth twice that. The chap said the Volvo wasn't perfect due to high mileage and zero service history, but he was really keen. On a dark evening in, I think it was March, I drove the not very good Fiesta down to Oxford services and I came home in the Volvo 740 Turbo, aka G165 BEV. This was a four-speed manual with the fifth gear on overdrive on a clicky button on the top of the gear knob. I just thought that was so cool. It was cosmetically pretty good with the proper turbo intercooler badging on the back and the interior was nice. It was all right. Despite the mileage, it did drive very well, although the gearbox was a little bit crunchy and it absolutely refused to idle. So when you were cruising up to a red light, you had to find neutral and then left foot brake while keeping the engine running with your right foot, or use the handbrake while engaging the clutch. You know, when you're cruising up to the lights and you're all like this, like trying to keep the car going. I know you've done it before. Anyway, faults aside, I thought it was a great swap, financially, practically, morally, and ethically. However, little brother Jeff genuinely didn't see it the same way. He was absolutely livid. My memory of the exact chain of text messages is hazy. I'm fairly sure I hadn't spoken to him for a day or two. And then I sent him a message just being like, you know, how's it going? And I sent a photo of the Volvo with the caption saying, guess what? His reply was along the lines of, you better not have swapped my Fiesta for that piece of shit Volvo. And what followed was actually the angriest text message conversation I've ever had with anyone ever. He was so pissed off. Not only was he pissed off, but he was also 200 miles away and he wasn't home for another month. So, yes, he had bought a car and I had disposed of it before he had even sat in the driver's seat. Personally, I thought that he'd dodged a bullet, but the Volvo story goes on to get even better. Back in the blissful pre-children and pre-Jeff buys cars days, I always had two or three cars coming or going, but the Volvo stayed with me for a whole summer. At the time, I was hanging out with a character that I've written about before. You might remember him from previous Jeff videos, and for a fair number of reasons, I won't use his real name. This is who myself and my brothers used to call Dodgy J. I'd met him when I went to view a Peugeot 206cc that he was selling on Facebook Marketplace. The car was an absolute crock of shit, but for some reason, Dodgy J and me, we just got on. We ended up going to some car auctions together, which, looking back now, might have been because he didn't actually have a driving license. But hey, what's a few driving misdemeanors amongst friends? Anyway, I was enjoying my newfound Volvo ownership, and I was going all out with the Drew Pritchard look. Or Drew Pritchard was going all out with the Jeff Buys Cars look. Volvo, flat cap, wax jacket. Early days of Jeff Buys Cars. Pre-Jeff. On this particular occasion, Dodgy J had his own transport to whichever dodgy car auction we were heading to. Dodgy J was actually driving a probably dodgy Audi S3 that was 8 shades of red. I don't know where he'd got it from, with two very dodgy passengers, and all three of them were wearing extremely dodgy tracksuits. It was a sort of weird two-car convoy. They were ahead of me in the Audi, I was behind them in the Volvo. But there came a time when I decided the Volvo needed to show the tracksuit-wearing whippersnappers a thing or two. And the looks on their faces when the big Swedish barge went past the probably dodgy Audi at about 130 mile an hour on a dual carriageway was absolutely golden. True story, that Volvo absolutely flew. Thinking about it, maybe it was that high-speed run that broke the Volvo. Anyway, whatever shite we bought at auction that night was entirely forgettable as I can't remember. Although, it may well have been the £105 Vauxhall Corsa that I bought cheaply due to the hastily removed pink vinyl wrap. Hang on, let's have a story within a story. The 1 litre three-door Corsa was blue with a white bumper and vinyl residue all over it. The roof was still wrapped sparkly pink. I won it on the hammer for 85 quid and I got laughed at. There was like an audible laugh as the hammer fell by everybody who was there. I drove it home, I spent an entire day sanding down the whole body of the car, and then I rattle-canned it matte black, everything except the roof, which I left sparkly pink. And I seem to recall I sold it for 300 quid, which is technically a profit if you don't include my 25 hours of labour, so exactly like Wheeler Dealers. Anyway, back to the Volvo story. Some months passed, and the Volvo was in daily use with me, before it was then lent to the youngest of the Jeff brothers who needed a car. Other than its horrendous thirst for petrol and the total inability to idle at junctions, he actually loved it. And then he handed it back and I decided enough was enough and I listed it for sale once again. I wasn't too bothered about selling the Volvo because I liked it, but I decided to dangle the hook for swaps and see if I got any juicy bites, and I did get a very juicy bite. A young lad got in touch wanting to put the engine and gearbox from the Volvo into his Volvo Amazon. He didn't have any money to pay for it, but he did have a half-finished VW Caddy pickup with a Golf GTI engine, and did I want to swap? I couldn't get my reply to him fast enough. Hell yes, I have loved VW Caddy pickups since I was a kid. So should we have another story within a story? Why not? If you're listening now, you're invested, so let's go. Back in the old days, petrol-powered Caddy pickups were plentiful and cheap and hugely popular with the motocross crowd thanks to the car-like driving qualities and the low load deck. hit a Mark 1 caddy with a lowering wrist stick and replace the tailgate with a cargo net and you've got the ultimate motorbike transport. Many, many moons ago, long before I had a driving license, I remember seeing three caddy pickups going along the fast lane of the M42, bumper to bumper. They're all slammed on the floor and every one of them has got a motocross bike in the back and they just looked like they were having the most fun ever. Personally, I have owned 1.5 of these caddy pickup trucks, and little brother Jeff has also owned one. His had a 2-litre Seat engine, and one of mine had a 1.8-litre GTI engine with no speedo. There's a lot of stories about my time with that truck. I'll leave those for another time. Anyway, back to the Volvo story again. Anyway, the chap who got in touch to swap the caddy for the Volvo was serious, so I drove the Volvo 740 to his house to do the deal. The caddy pickup hadn't turned a wheel in 3 years and allegedly had little to no brakes and no exhaust. His plan had been to put stacks up the back of the cab, but he'd only got so far as sending the manifold into the bed and leaving a big hole. So it was noisy as. And obviously it had no brakes. So I did the only thing that I could have done at the time. I phoned my garage, booked it in for an MOT, and then I had the seller's dad follow me down the motorway in a VW Transporter full of bits, and I drove the caddy back to my unit. I finally had the caddy that I'd been dreaming of. I couldn't believe that I'd turned a £500 shitty Fiesta into a rare Volvo 740 Turbo, and then turned that into one of my dream cars, albeit needing a little bit of work. Despite my plans and aspirations for the caddy, it was never meant to be. What happened next was life sort of hit me in the face. For one reason or another, I had to admit that the caddy project was never going to happen, so I sold it to the happiest teenager that I've ever seen. I wonder if he got it on the road. When he drove away with that truck on the trailer, a little part of me died, but he looked thrilled to bits. Anyway, more time elapsed. I can't remember how much time, but the seller of the caddy, Volvo Amazon man, got back in touch. Turns out it wasn't just me being hit in the face by a dose of reality. He was having the same realisation about the Turbo Amazon project. And would I like to buy the Volvo 740 Turbo, aka G165 BEV, back? I should have stopped to think about it, and I should have remembered all the annoying little traits the car had, like using oil and water and fuel at alarming rates, and not idling, and not having any history. But while my head disengaged from the matter, my heart just said yes. I went and bought the Volvo back without even opening the bonnet. I also paid way over the odds for it because of the way the caddy deal had worked in my favour. What an idiot. It didn't take long on the short drive home to realise that I'd made a big mistake by buying it back. I should have quit while I was ahead. By the time I got home, the temperature gauge was going wild and opening the bonnet on my driveway revealed catastrophic head gasket failure. Balls. Now, if this had been 2023, I'd have paid to get the job done and carried on because the Volvo 740 Turbo was worth the money. But this wasn't. This was about 2015. I was skint, the car was worth less than I had in it, and my garage wanted a grand to do the job. Plus, that was without looking at any of the other problems that the car had. It had also developed a few more issues in its time away from me. So I dealt with this situation in the best way possible, and I did what many petrol heads had done in similar circumstances. I parked it on my mum's drive, and I tried not to think about it. Eventually, I decided that the car had to go. I sold it as spares or repairs to two gentlemen from Wales, and they came and they gave me £500, but not before the Volvo got one last laugh at my expense. I'd foolishly parked the 740 nose down on my mum's driveway, and of course, after so much time, the battery was toast. There's no way to get a car either side of the Volvo to jumpstart it, and I didn't have a jump pack. The only way I could get the Volvo started so that I could sell it was to pull it off the drive. But the only car that I had to do the pulling was a ropey Mercedes-Benz W123 saloon that I called Gaddafi. I tied the tow hook of Gaddafi to the back of the Volvo and after much wheel spinning, managed to get the 740 Turbo off the drive, onto the trailer and into Wales. The whole experience was an incredible ordeal, and I'm sure the person who bought it will never forget just how much faff it was to get the Volvo onto his trailer. Anyway, the Volvo was gone, and it had made me a huge profit, and then through my bad decisions left me with a massive loss. But in many ways, I did love that car, and I always wondered where it ended up. So fast forward back to the start of this story, and you'll remember I said it came up for sale recently, and you'll remember I said I got a letter about it. 5 or 6 years had passed since I'd owned it, and a fact that was confirmed to me by the email. So, before I read the email that I got, have you got the Volvo now, G165 BEV, or did you restore my VW Caddy? Because I'd like to fill in the gaps. Here's the letter. Jeff, just following up on your comment on the sales listing for the dreaded G165 BEV. I originally put a hefty deposit on it in late 2018 when it was for sale by a dealer slash scam artist in Coventry, calling himself Jerry, not his real name, as I later found out. He'd recently finished a 3-year sentence for fraudulent MOTs, extortion and GBH towards a customer who tried to take him to court for selling her a dangerous car. I live in Dorset, so I wanted to make sure the car was totally right before I committed to spending $2,000 on it and travelling to Coventry to collect it. I asked him all the usual questions and he assured me that the car was perfect, 100% free of issues and that it drove like new. He was very good with the spiel, so good in fact that I totally believed him, despite being the son of a car dealer and having heard it all before. It's amazing that we don't learn these lessons, isn't it? I went to Coventry by train to collect the car and was dismayed to find that it didn't run. Eventually, after Jerry flattened the battery trying to start it, he returned with a jump pack, flattened that, returned with a can of fuel and a second jump pack, we got the car started. It ran awfully, it loped to idle like an old Detroit diesel truck, had a chronic misfire, was almost impossible to get into gear without applying Herculean effort, and eventually when I took it around the block, when I hit the brakes for the first time, both indicator lenses fell out as they weren't the correct units for the car. Total comedy, but immensely frustrating and disappointing at the time, being a 6-hour train ride away from home with no return ticket. On returning to the garage, I noticed it was running hot, so I popped the bonnet to find that it had spaffed most of its coolant down the side of the block. Half the vacuum system was disconnected, sensors had been removed and replaced with screws and bits of wood, and the whole car was just a total horror show. I rejected the car and was assured that my deposit, which was paid after agreeing that it would be returnable if the car was not as described, due to me having to travel from Dorset to collect it, would be returned by bank transfer the next day. A week later, no deposit, so I chased it up and I was told, "I don't know who you are," and "You don't exist, mate," and "What Volvo?" Eventually turning into, "If I'd known you were some sort of Volvo nerd, I'd never have sold you the car," and finally, "Piss off or I'll f*** you up." Charming guy. It's a shame, as it is a beautiful looking car, and it would be a great project, despite all the issues, just not for $2,000 at the time. So, that's it. That is my Volvo story. I bought it once. I bought it again. It was then almost bought by that chap. I don't know where the car is now. It was a funny story. Let me know if you've had any disastrous buys like that, that you'd like to share with Jeff Buys Cars. And if you know where any of the cars are in the story, let me know. Except the Fiesta. Not interested. That was crap.
Jeff Buys Cars. Still, YouTube's most boring car channel.